Welcome to the Reader's Roundtable podcast, presented by Capital Area District Libraries.
Welcome back to Reader's Roundtable. I'm Jessica Trotter, and I'm joined at the mic by my fellow selectors, Sherry McConnell and Maricela Garza.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you, ladies, for joining us. We are going to talk a little bit today about, we got two topics we wanted to cover. It's February. We were going to talk a little romance in its many forms, and we're going to talk a little bit about Black History Month and some great reads that have caught our eye. I want to start because I watched Crazy Rich Asians last night, and that's a fun, funny,
that movie, that
fabulous movie that actually took me out of the snow and ice and to glorious Singapore.
Yeah, yeah.
If you are not familiar with this really, really big sensation. It's that classic romantic comedy story, boy meets girl, and conveniently forgets to mention that he's filthy rich. Until a year later when he wants to take her home to a family wedding, and pain, hilarity, vicious mothers ensue, and it was fabulous. It's just gorgeous scenes, opulent.
Yeah, and the dialogue is so sharp, and the timing is great, and it's such a fantastic movie.
It's Henry Golding, Constance Wu, Awkwafina. It's just it's a really fabulous, fabulous cast.
Mm-hmm. It's great. That reminds me of a DVD I watched recently. It was actually kind of like a documentary / comedy. I want to say it was called Meet the Patels or something along those lines.
Oh, yeah.
It's
love
about
that movie.
A young guy who's like trying to get married, and his family takes him to India, and he has like a year to get it together because he wants to find the perfect Indian wife because he's very committed to his culture. Mm-hmm. It's sort of billed as a sort of My Big Fat Greek Wedding style thing, and I won't give too much away, but it was really, really fun, and it kind of leads me into my first title. It's called My So-Called Bollywood Life, and this is by Nisha Sharma, and it's about a teen girl who's really into Bollywood movies, and of course she's a high school student who is very vested in getting into a good college, a good university. Mm-hmm. So she's trying to get into NYU film school, and she's got a guy in the picture who kind of is a little competitive. I really like these sorts of books because they give a picture into so much cultural aspect of like what's going on with families and how they think and you know what motivates them. I want to recommend it because there's she's definitely a very strong sort of hero person, and the romantic triangle element that comes along in the book also kind of reminds me of a Bollywood movie. So I don't get to watch too many of those, but this book was really good to review.
For romances, I'm starting out with movie romances, and if you're a fan of PBS, you will know that Queen Victoria is showing on PBS right
Coleman.
Now.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And if you're a Doctor Who fan, you also know that.
Yeah, it's not a secret. Queen Everybody Victoria. Knows I'm a Doctor Who fan.
Yes, it's Dana Coleman. We have seasons 1 and 2 on DVD, and I have season 3 on order. if you have not been watching this series, it is about the life of Queen Victoria, but a centerpiece of her life and of this the series is her relationship with Prince Albert and how deeply in love they are, and their struggles as a couple. So I'm happy to see that that they're also depicting. I don't know if it's real life or not, but Queen Victoria and Prince Albert had their struggles. But besides that series, because Queen Victoria and Prince Albert is the ultimate royal love affair. But there were a couple of other movies made about her after Prince Albert died. He died young, at age 42. And she ruled for another 40 years. So a couple of other movies have been made about other relationships she had after Prince Albert died. One of those is a movie called Her Majesty Mrs. Brown. And it's about a relationship she had a few years after Prince Albert died with a Scotsman named John Brown, who was her, I don't know what the royal title is, but he took care of her horses. And and it caused a scandal, and there was rumors of a secret marriage and all this kind of stuff. And she wrote a book about their time in the Highlands, and so it was quite scandalous. And she actually, I read on Wikipedia that she, besides when she was buried, besides some things from Albert, she was buried with a lock of John Brown's hair. So there might have been something there. So that movie, we have Her Majesty Mrs. Brown, starring Judi Dench. We have that on DVD and Hoopla. But then there's another movie that was made more recently called Victoria and Abdul. And I think this came out in the last couple of years. Yes. Again, starring Judi Dench as Queen Victoria. But this is about later in her reign, a relationship with a man called Abdul Karim, who travels to England from India as part of her Golden Jubilee. And he catches her eye, and he becomes a close assistant to her. And again, there's a huge scandal because, you know, people think that he's trying to influence her and how she views India. But the story is that he opens her eyes to how England is in the world and how it interacts with different cultures.
Okay, you've reminded me of something I wanted to go down and track down. This is one I wanted to see.
Oh, okay.
I have not seen it yet.
We have it on DVD and Blu-ray.
All right, I will track it down.
But it's interesting that, again, this relationship caused a scandal, although he worked for her until her death. But and a lot of their correspondence was destroyed. Mm. But she had written some things in Urdu that were not destroyed because nobody could read them. And a lot of the source for the movie is based on that writing.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, we will be right back with more.
Right here. Imagine a place that lets you download a hot new bestseller, stream a TV series, listen to the latest music releases, even borrow a sewing machine or Wi-Fi hotspot. No, it's not an expensive subscription service or a giant online marketplace. It's your local library, and it's all free to cardholders. Capital Area District Libraries. Everything right here.
Right here.
Welcome back. The next book I want to talk about is The Proposal by Jasmine Gilroy. I know I talked about her first book, The Wedding Guest, when it came out. I loved that book. I think I talked about it in our first or second podcast. I love The Proposal even more.
Right.
And
this is the one, right, where there's like, she's at a baseball game with a date
that's
she's not too crazy
that's
about.
That's exactly it. So at a major league baseball game.
So it was very funny.
A scoreboard proposal with her name spelled wrong.
Oh, lovely.
And a guy who she's not that into. And she obviously says no.
I wonder how much that happens. I would like to know.
I would like to think.
Occasionally you hear about these things on Facebook.
I'm sure it happens, but of course in this story, Espen descends on her. Everybody, like news crews are heading towards her. And luckily, there's this brother and sister kind of watching this happen. And if you have read the wedding date, it's a character from that book that is there with his sister. And they just, out of the goodness of their heart, they just sort of descend on her ahead of the camera crews, like their long-lost friends, and they extricate her from the game. But it's just like, and it's sort of, it's the start of a, I am obviously not ready to be in a relationship, except there's this really nice guy who got me out of this mess, and they become friends, and it's just sort of, it's just a sweet, neat romance.
Right.
And it's just funny. So I just, and I particularly want to note it because I am not the only one taking note, and Maddie is not the only one taking note, because it is Reese Witherspoon's book club pick this month as
Interesting. Okay.
So You may have a little trouble getting a hold of it, but we definitely have enough copies, so just jump on hold wherever, whichever format works for you. And just one more, because I don't want to forget it. I talked about this at a presentation at one of our branches, but Bingo Love is a graphic novel by T. Franklin. It started as a Kickstarter and is now available commercially. And it's just that I want to point out that our romance collection and our collections just, I really appreciate that they're becoming more diverse. Bingo Love is actually a second chance romance story about a pair of black women who met as teenagers, fell in love, were separated because we were talking 50s, 60s, it wasn't appropriate, their families didn't appreciate it in any way whatsoever. So they went on, had, well, you know, what everybody considered normal lives, got married, each individually got married. But they find each other again years later, back in a bingo parlor as adults, and they still love each other. And it's sort of them coming together, having to work out their family's total lack of understanding. But it's just, it's a great queer comic. Older women of color as the stars, and they're just neat characters. So just one of those ones that...
Nice. Okay.
Well, I have, speaking of an LGBTQ romance, this is a real-life romance. Mm-hmm. The book is called Eleanor and Hick, The Love Affair That Shaped a First Lady by Susan Quinn, and we have it in print, ebook, and e-audio. And there are a lot of books that have been written about Eleanor's relationship with FDR, but not about her other relationships. And this is, it's a dual biography about Eleanor Roosevelt and a journalist called Lorena Hickok, and she went by Hick. And they met in 1932 and fell in love, and Eleanor helped her along as a writer, and Hick went on to work covering projects for the Works Progress Administration, or the WPA, and reported on New Deal projects across the country, and she kept Eleanor apprised of those projects. But they also spent lots of time together. Hick actually lived in the White House. Her bedroom was right beside Eleanor's. And they corresponded. Even after their romance was over, they continued to correspond. And there are lots of letters, and the book is partially based on those letters. But it's another side of Eleanor that people don't hear about. Mm-hmm.
And I think there's also a recently released historical fiction novel called White Houses by Amy Bloom that's also would be a fiction companion to this as well.
To that relationship.
Yeah, about that relationship.
Interesting. Okay. So I'm thinking of this book called Stay Sweet, and I'm not quite sure if I'm pronouncing her name correctly. It's by Siobhan Vivian. And this is the story of a girl who works with an all-female staff at an ice cream stand. And it's kind of like one of those walk-up places. And it really appealed to me because, I don't know about you, but I like to go to Dairy Dan, you know, in Holt. there's a place in Mason, too. I think it's called Dairy Hill. Plus the Daily Scoop. I mean, these places where you just sort of walk up, and they're kind of historical places. So this is in the story. The ice cream stand was, like, started in the 1940s. 1944, I think, by a woman named Molly Mead. And at some point in the story, Molly passes away, and there's a nephew, grandnephew actually, who comes in to sort of take over. And it's sort of this love story of like, wait a minute, this was an all-female staff, and now we have a male sort of running the place. And it's just a really, really fun, lovely story about two strong individuals trying to get along together, and also just a little romance going on there. The other one I want to talk about is called Let's Talk About Love. And this is by Claire Kahn. And
I love that.
Yeah.
Book.
This is a story about a girl who's living with friends, but who's kind of been recently dumped by her girlfriend, or you could say ex-girlfriend. And she starts working at the library. Yay!
Yes.
Go library teens. We do hire teens as pages in all of our branches, so you can consider that if you'd like to. We also take volunteers. Summer reading is coming up. But anyway, in the story, she's working at the library and she meets Takumi, and for the first time she's somewhat feeling sexually attracted to him. Now, the reason this is kind of, I guess, notable is because she identifies as asexual. Mm-hmm. So this is their story, her story, really, about what those kind of relationships maybe mean, at least in that situation. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, it was just something that I don't read those kind of stories very often, I really appreciated hearing this type of a story.
Yeah, and
the dialogue too.
Yes,
sure.
Yes, and it kind of goes back to that. I'm so appreciative of the diversity.
Yeah.
Of stories we're getting and that are being published as well, because it's gotten so much better that it's not a straight boy girl sex type story. Whereas this one is, mm-hmm. I'm just not interested in sex. That's not. But I love you.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And it's really kind of trying to. It's two people trying to figure out what that means and how that can work.
Yeah. Yeah, I found it really, really intriguing. The other one, if you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and talk about probably my favorite book of last year. It was called Emergency Contact. It's by Mary Choi? Mary H. K. Choi. And speaking of dialogue, I mean, a lot of it kind of happens in text, but it was so funny. And what I thought was really neat about it is that it really, like, highlighted how difficult it is sometimes to communicate with people, especially in light of our whole internet age, where we're like really online all the time and, you know, trying to make connections through Facebook. And, you know, if you live alone, this is like really, it was really a great, great story. Again, about teens trying to make their way in the world and deal with loss, deal with difficult relationships, and just being honest about awkwardness and the difficulty that lies with connecting with others in 2018 or 2019.
Is there anything else you wanted to cover?
I have one more romance, and this is a throwback. There is no problem with these people connecting. A throwback to the 1960s and 70s and a romance between Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton. So if you're for older people out there, you'll remember this. The book is called Furious Love, Elizabeth Taylor, Richard Burton, and the Marriage of the Century by Sam Kashner, and we have it in print, ebook, and e-audio. And this is just about their raucous relationship and their passion. And I just remember I was a kid at the time, but just they were always in the tabloids about they were together, then they were apart, and they were together, and then they were apart, and their struggles apart and together. And so I just remembered that and the passion that Elizabeth Taylor was famous for with everything she did. So this is a book about their romance, and I think the Hollywood romances of today just pale in comparison to the ultimate Hollywood romance.
All right, then that's our romance segment.
All right, happy Valentine's Day.
Okay, so we also really wanted to talk about Black History Month, and titles that have caught our eyes since it is Black History Month. Who wants to jump in first?
Well, I want to mention, because our Capital Area Reads book this spring is The Hate U Give, we have created this great that will be, it'll come out as a booklet or in an oversized bookmark, and we'll have a web page, but we've created lists of our library resources with similar reads and titles exploring the issues that come up in The Hate U Give. So a look out for that in March.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to?
Sure. So I've got just a few authors that I want to talk about. My first one actually is really an illustrator. Kadir Nelson.
It's beautiful work.
Yes. Yeah, I mean,
beautiful work.
He's got these books on Martin Luther King Jr., Nelson Mandela. I think he has one on Harriet Tubman.
Hasn't he won some awards?
Yeah, yeah. Just larger than life, like just portraits that you see very often on the covers of the book. And the one that I'm thinking of right now is actually, he illustrated a book called Middle Passage, White Ships, and it's actually also done with Tom Feeling. And it's just beautiful work, and it was actually published quite some time ago, but recently updated, so it has some text now to it, because it was largely wordless, like a history book of the transatlantic slave trade, and it was really interesting to look through. Some people call it haunting, ghost-like. Which is, I guess, appropriate when you think about mm-hmm. the context of that. Mm-hmm. He's also got Testing the Ice, a true story about Jackie Robinson. And the other titles I wanted to mention would be Heart and Soul, the story of America and African Americans. I Have a Dream, which is the one I mentioned earlier. Martin Luther King Jr. and a Nelson Mandela book.
Mm-hmm. So. I'm going to go in a slightly different slightly different direction. I'm still slightly riding the Afrofuturism high of Black Panther, and I want everybody in the world to read Nnedi Okorafor, who writes...
Would you repeat that?
Huh?
Repeat that, Nnedi?
Nnedi Okorafor.
Okay.
She is a fabulous, fabulous writer. She's there are teen books. There are books for adults. What I want to talk about today is Binti. It's a set of, the first book is Binti, but there are three novellas on this character. It's set in the future, and Binti is a girl who is phenomenal. She's phenomenal with science and math, and she, unlike everybody else in her village, she wants to leave home and go to university. And that means like getting on a starship and going to university. And she gets herself accepted without her family knowing, and basically goes off to Umza University, and she is the first of the Himba to leave her village and leave the planet. They barely leave their villages, and she's leaving the planet, and totally against their wishes, she catches the shuttle, and she meets a group of people of academics that she can talk to and that understand her, and it's fabulous. They're on their way, and their ship is attacked on the way to the university. And it's the start of a very strange and interesting relationship with one of the attackers. She is the only person who survives. And when they arrive at the university, they basically, it's a group that everybody else has been at war with. They have changed her a little bit. She's sort of now paired with a member of their species, not romantically or anything. It's just sort of it's almost an attempt at forcing a peace. But it's a neat series, and it's just the science, the imagery, the projection of African myth into the stories. It's just really neat. And they're not long, and Binti is just a neat character. So I think anybody should check those out.
Nice. Well, I have, my first suggestion is a classic, actually, the autobiography of Malcolm X with Alex Haley.
Which you said is one of your favorites.
And it's one of my favorite books. I first read it as a graduate assistant. The professor had assigned it to the class to read, and I was just unfamiliar with him. before I read that book, and now he's one of my most admired Americans because of his life and how much he cared deeply for social justice, yet he's also willing to change his perception of what that means, and through the people he meets when he goes on Hajj to Saudi Arabia, and through his other life experiences, his concept of social justice develops along with his experiences, and that is a tough thing to find these days. So I admire him even more for that. He also has the book, we have it in print. He also has many ties to the Lansing area. He grew up in Lansing and lived in Mason and Lansing, went to Pleasant Grove Elementary School. He was married in Lansing. He spoke at MSU, so there are many, many ties with him to the Lansing area. We also have, a few years ago, Spike Lee did a movie called Malcolm X, mm-hmm. starring Denzel Washington and Angela Bassett. We have it on DVD. And so I would recommend that movie as well as Spike Lee is our Artist of the Month for March, because he was... he's been nominated for Director Academy Award for his movie Black Klansman.
I hope he wins.
I think he wins.
I think I'm going to jump back in, and I'm going to jump into nonfiction. Sorry, Sherry.
That's okay.
Just one of the ones that I've read recently is called Well-Read Black Girl.
Hey, that's on my list too.
Yeah. Oh, okay. it's edited by Gloria Edom, and it's a book. Well-Read Black Girl is a phenomenon, and this is Glory bringing together readers, writers, actors, all to talk about, regardless of ethnicity or gender, the book is for anybody, regardless of ethnicity or gender.
Yeah,
it's for people who love
It's an
books.
Anthology, and it's kind of, I think it has grown into like a national book club of some degree.
And they have conferences.
In Brooklyn, mm-hmm. I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's a star-studded crew of readers sharing books, plays, writings of every kind that are important to them. And it includes Jessamyn Ward.
Renee Watson, who I was going to point out.
Tiare Jones, whose American Marriage has been an Oprah book. Gabourey Sidibe.
Yeah.
N.K. Jemisin, Zinzi Clemens, just a lot of both established and up-and-coming.
Right. And I think one of the reasons I like this movement, which I actually don't know all that much about, but it kind of addresses the question or asks people to think about, when did you first see yourself in literature or in books?
Yes.
When did you feel that you could identify with some of these characters that maybe they're, similar walks of life, similar things you think about? I just really appreciate that whole perspective of, asking people to think about, do you see yourself in a lot of the
And I don't think
stories?
It, for me, it was until I was an adult.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say me too. But it's also because maybe I just started reading more seriously as an adult, though. So I don't know.
It's an interesting thought. I mean, mm-hmm. and really to kind of really think back and figure out where it was.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to mention another Michigan-based history. This is one. It's written by a University of Michigan professor. She's also a MacArthur Fellow. And the book is called The Dawn of Detroit, A Chronicle of Slavery and Freedom in the City of the Streets by Tia Miles. And we have it in print, ebook, and e-audio. And she writes about Detroit in a way that I had not thought about, and that Detroit was a center of the slave trade in colonial America. And the reason why is because of the fur trade.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And so both the British and the French used Native American slaves and African slaves to keep the fur trade moving.
Wow.
And so while we think of the South and New Orleans and places like that as the place where slaves were bought and sold, they were also bought and sold in Detroit. And when America won the Revolutionary War, that didn't stop that northern slave trade because it was needed to keep the fur trade going. And she also writes about the Native American struggle with that slave trade. Mm-hmm. So it's just a completely different view of Detroit than I have ever thought about before.
I'm thinking that was a Michigan notable that year, too.
Was it? Again. Yeah, because this has been out for a couple of years.
Yeah.
So I'm going to focus on Carol Boston Weatherford. This is an author who writes children's literature, but also some historical books. And she's also known for poetry and providing commentary about world or national events, world events. The book I was read recently was called In Your Hands. It's kind of a picture book, but it's her message to her son. She's addressing, you know, all the difficulties that come with being a boy, being a man, a black man in America, and just trying. This is a mom who's cradling her son and just wishing the very best for him and getting concerned about him later on. She's comforting him. She's praying for him because of just the hardship that she knows may be coming for him. I like the book because not only was it beautifully illustrated, which I can't think of who the illustrator is at the moment, but it's got a lot of echoes of Martin Luther King Jr. It ends with Black Lives Matter. Your life matters. And I pray to God each day, hold my son in your hands. It expresses just a very deeply personal, I guess, response for her as she's, you know, thinking about issues for boys growing up, black boys growing up. She's also written You Can Fly, The Tuskegee Airmen, Moses, The Harriet Tubman, Let Her People to Freedom, Sugar Hill, Harlem's Historic Black Neighborhood, which is about a Harlem neighborhood that was really successful for African Americans. When in the 1920s, they called this whole area home. And my favorite is Freedom in Congo Square, which I've talked about before on this podcast, so I won't say too much about it, but I really like that book a lot.
Very cool. I've got one last one, and this is actually one people need to look out for. There's a new book out. It's a debut novel. Called The Care and Feeding of Ravenously Hungry Girls by Anissa Gray, who is a successful journalist. And it's just, this is one of those, if you liked The Mothers by Britt Bennett, or An American Marriage, or anything actually by T.R.I. Jones, it's really kind of the story of a black family in crisis, with the added plus of it's actually set sort of Southwest Michigan, Chicagoland area. So that one of the daughters is actually coming up from Chicago, but the rest of them are more not quite Kalamazoo, sort of St. Joe area. And it's a husband and wife have been arrested. They are probably going to be convicted of fraud. They have two daughters. They have that they have to figure out what to do with, and there are a couple of sisters and a brother that are kind of stepping in. And it's just a really poignant look at relationships between mothers and daughters and siblings, issues of identity, body image, guilt and regrets. And it's got a lot of weight to it, and it's a really quick read. I don't quite know how she managed to balance that. But it's actually due out on February 19th. So we've got it on order. Anybody can put it on hold. I think it's going to do really well. It's just one of those ones where it's got that added. It's a Michigan definite Michigan ties. So I think people should check it out, put it on hold and check it out.
Okay. I have a couple more titles real quick.
Okay.
One is a book that came out last year but I think it ran under the radar a lot because there was the title changed. And so,
yes.
Yeah, that one.
Yep.
But it was on some best of the year lists of 2018, but it didn't get as much attention as I think it should have. It's called Invisible, the Forgotten Story of the Black Woman Lawyer Who Took Down America's Most Powerful Mobster by Stephen Carter. And we have it in print, large print, and book on CD. And Carter himself, a distinguished man, was a former law clerk for Thurgood Marshall. And his grandmother was a successful lawyer and successfully prosecuted Lucky Luciano, who for older people, he was a huge mobster.
Right.
I kind of remember his name. But at the age of 8, she declared that she wanted to become a lawyer because she wanted to put bad people in jail. Mm-hmm. And she fulfilled that dream. She went on to get a degree from Smith College, and then she enrolled in Forman Law School because it was one of the few colleges that admitted both women and blacks. And she ran for office. She worked for the mayor of New York, and a special prosecutor put her on his team to investigate mob activity in New York, and her career went on from there. And so it's just a fascinating story of that time of mobsters in New York, but also this fierce, brave woman who was underestimated.
And he didn't know all of this. I mean, I think he...
No,
yeah,
he,
I mean, it was a real surprise.
Yes.
How big the cases that
yeah,
she worked
and,
in.
Yeah, and her role in his prosecution mm-hmm. was lost.
Mm-hmm.
And he rediscovered his grandmother and her accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
Another one that I will, last one that I'm going to mention is called Truvine. And this was out a couple years ago. It's kind of a true crime book. And where are my notes on this? Okay, sorry about that. The title is Truvine, Two Brothers, a Kidnapping, and a Mother's Quest, a True Story of the Jim Crow South by Beth Macy. And we have it in print, ebook, e-audio, and book on CD. And it's about these two black albino brothers who are kidnapped. They were working in a field, and they're kidnapped and taken away to the circus and put in a circus freak show. And it's about their life in the circus, but it's also about their mother's quest to get them back.
Mm-hmm.
And they are in the circus for 13 years before she doesn't know where they are.
Right.
So first she has to track them down. And then to get them back, because the circus, they were basically the property of the circus. So the story is about their, they were kidnapped in 1899.
And again, wow.
So this is about, the story is a mother's quest to get her children back, and also just the attitude
right.
toward blacks at that time and their role or their inability to have control over their own lives.
At a time when they are theoretically free.
Right. And on top of that, these two boys were considered freaks. And so the book is also about, did the circus give them opportunities they wouldn't have had otherwise? Or were they exploited? Were they both? But then after the mother finds them, they actually go back and work in the circus again, but supposedly under better conditions with a better contract.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. Wow,
this is interesting.
So it's just a really interesting story about, about lots of different issues in our history.
Okay. Anything else that we...
Yeah, the last person I just want to mention again is Renee Watson. She's what I consider a contemporary author, American author from Oregon. And she also has a new book coming out. It's called Watch Us Rise. She's written this with Ellen Hagen. And it's a teen book about two young girls who are friends, really good friends. And they're kind of just sick of women being treated poorly, even at their supposed, you know, liberal, really progressive school. And they end up starting a club for women's rights. And anyway, it's something happens and it goes viral and sounds very much like today. But yeah, I just really like Renee Watson because of her. I mean, she writes a lot about girls, African-American girls, and just the experience of being in school and really trying your best to develop your mind, to set your goals. And she has written some biographies too, or participated in biographies. She's participated in Betty Before X by Aisha Shabazz? And she also wrote Harlem's Little Blackbird. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Okay. I hope you'll
nope,
check
these
out.
These are all great lists. So yeah. I'm really, I've got a few that I need to track down after all this. So we're hoping you found a few in here, and our titles will be posted on the Cattle website. And happy reading.
Happy reading.
Happy February.